Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you are listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee, and welcome to the AMAA Masters Radio Network. And I'm excited. This is our New Year's, well, after our New Year's show, and we have opened up for the past 6 years with the same gentleman and my special guest tonight, Mr. Alan Goldberg. But before I bring him on, I want to bring on my producer, who actually has put us on the air for these past 9 years. I'm talking about the incredible Jesse Bowen. Jesse, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm excited. We've got an amazing show tonight, and of course, it's all thanks to you and your vision about helping the Sport Karate Museum. But I know you're doing a book with my special guest tonight. We can talk about that a little bit. But tell me what Jesse Bowen's got going on right now.
Well, sir, I'm laughing because it's all good. It's all good. So, of course, the big thing we have coming up is Sifu Goldberg's event coming up in Atlantic City. This is our third book. This is the trilogy book that we've actually, put together for the Hall of Honors. And I'm really honored that, number one, he has entrusted us to do it. Number two, that the inductees have entrusted us with their bio to do a good job and make sure, number one, it's a really credible book that they can share with their family and their friends and can be proud of. And we put a lot of time, a lot of energy to make sure, that this has happened. I still definitely want to say that, we truly thank him from my side of the AMAA and Elite Publications because, this is what I call helping hands. Without the opportunity and being able to do something like this, we would still be we'd be 2 or 3 years behind, but because we've been able to do this, it's helped us, number one, to advance our brand of who we are and the things that we're doing. So right now, we got a list of people that we are publishing their books. We have several other organizations. We're doing the tribute to Bill Superfoot Wallace this year. And, the base of what Jesse Bowen is doing, this year is really a special year because, it's the time that I'm really giving back of who I am as that person. That's some positive energy. We just released a new course in our AMAA online training programs, and this is the Abundance Mindset. So that's what we're doing. I've got vision board workshops going on. I've got prosperity workshops going on because this is what we need to do. We need to really focus ourselves on what is in front. So those are just a few of the things. We have now become an official certified organization for the Presidential Award, which is I'm really excited about that we have that honor. And, we're hopefully that at Sifu's event, we will present the first real volunteer awards for martial artists or anyone. They don't have – my focus is not martial artists. My focus is people that are – my focus is for people that are doing things and really helping their community. So we're hoping that we will have at least 2 or 3 people that will have the opportunity to kick off that responsibility coming up in January at Sifu's event.
Wow, that's exciting. And I want to thank you again for the incredible 9 years that you put me on the air across America. Now we're in, what, 8 different countries on Apple, Twitter, Facebook. We're on the media outlets, and golly bum, Auntie Bowen, I know you work very hard at what you do, and I appreciate everything you've done for the museum. God bless you, sir.
Well, sir, I do appreciate that, and that's, you know, this is our, this is everybody's got a purpose, so this is our purpose, is truly to dedicate ourselves to making the martial arts better, to make it informative, make it as something that's positive, making the martial arts that so that it will continue to be recognized as a positive part of personal development training.
Yes, sir. And one more thing I want to ask you. You've got an online store that helps the museum. Tell people how to go there, please, if they want to purchase a hoodie, hat, T-shirt, or our books. Where would they go to?
Okay. So what they can just type in sport karate. I'm getting ready to pull it back up here myself. It is sport karate. Museumhistorygenerals.com.
Okay, is it History General or HistoryMuseum.com? I forget. Or History
Book.
Yeah. I get confused too. Yes, sir. Well, I think we're waiting on Dee Chambers and Dean. Okay, those are the only two that I didn't get the roll call. Okay, Dean's here. Okay, cool. How about David Chambers?
Hey, Dean.
Hey, Dean.
What's up?
Hey,
Jay.
How you doing?
Okay.
Doing good.
Hey, guys.
Our website is sportkaratemuseumhistorybook.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Now, remember, if anybody wants a T-shirt, a hoodie, a hat, or, you know, I think we have mugs and mouth pads, too, or the book, please go to www.sportkaratemuseumhistorybook.com. Or you can call Haunchy Jesse Bowen at, let's see, 919-618-8075. Or you can contact the museum at 713-483-0476. Now, before I introduce my special guest tonight, I want to talk about my two co-hosts. And the first one I'm going to talk about is the one you just heard his voice. I'm talking about the gentleman who's a NASCAR world champion, and Mr. Lewis, Joe Lewis, rest in peace, allowed me to adopt him, and he's actually my student, Mr. Dean Piles. Dean, are you there, sir?
Yep, right here, sir. We are actually...
How are you, Dean? And welcome to new year.
I'm doing great. We're doing great for the new year. We're working out training. We are actually right now in the middle of stunt fighting scenes for the Cowards, and I wish you guys could see it. But you will be able to when the movie's done. But
cool.
You talk about some awesome fight scenes. I mean, and now that we got Ron Charles, Mark Dukakis, and some other people we're not missing yet, I mean, it's gonna be all for the chain.
Well,
Mark D'Alessandros, I mean.
Mark D'Alessandros was a stunt double for Sylvester Stallone, and Ron Charles, who is a great NBL champion, also now is a fight coordinator, and of course he's worked on The Matrix and Bonnie and Clyde and all kinds of cool movies. So that's exciting that he's working with you on that.
But you know what? These guys are not going to have to stunt double the Wolverine, because he's going to do all his own stunts.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, my other co-host, that's an incredible man. He's actually and you guys know I don't use the word master, but he is a master in Taekwondo. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. He belongs to the Cleveland Hall of Fame. I'm talking about the one and only AJ Perry. AJ, are you there, sir?
I am. Thank you for the nice
introduction. Hey, AJ, how's Cleveland?
It's a little bit cold, but, you know, you're alive and well.
Is it snowing up there in Cleveland yet? Is it snowing?
No, it's just cold.
Yeah. Well,
just
listen,
cold.
Guys,
oh, but
hang
one,
on to your
thing,
seat, though, because I've got
I,
the gentleman
I,
who
cl-
put
I
on the largest.
Hey, Gary. Gary.
Yeah?
I closed on my condo I bought today, so it was a good day.
Your condom?
There you go.
I know I make fun of it, but congratulations. Now, you're on Lake Erie, right?
Right near, right.
Cool. Well, lots of fishing, AJ, lots of fishing. Well, as I was saying, I'm excited. I've got the man that's put the largest martial art festival on the planet. And I'm talking about the Action Martial Arts Festival and the creator of it, Alan Goldberg. Alan, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. How are you, folks, everyone?
Well, first of all, Mr. Goldberg, may I call you Alan? May I call you Alan,
real
sir?
Real busy, thank God. I mean, with all this COVID and stuff and, you know, all these people, I have to say I just want to give a little memorial to all the people that have passed this year, whether from COVID or from anything else. But we're doing some special here for some people. And,
well, Mr. Goldberg, may I call you Alan, please?
Sure, of course.
Okay, thank you. Well, Alan, you know, I'm excited for you being on this show, and thank you for mentioning the people, because we lost some great people this year. John the Timidad, J. Pat Burleson, just name a couple, and thank you for that shout-out, Glenn Keeney. You know, it's really important that we remember the history of people who set the standard for all of us. And you certainly are an amazing man of history. Now, I remember meeting you almost 25 years ago, and you then was working with the Action Martial Art magazine, I believe. Now, I want to talk about that a little bit before we talk about your career. Now, what exactly did you do for the magazine before, I mean, it went on to Mr. Torres and everything? I know you were the editor, or did you find one founder?
Well, I was the chief cook and bottle washer, let's put it that way. I own the magazine, bills, and a little everything. But my partner, Al Sussman, if you remember, who has passed.
Oh, that's right, Al. Yeah.
Right. He was my editor, cool. And then I brought him in as a partner. But we went 30 years, and we're still going strong, actually. We're reprinting again with Mr. Torres. I still oversee the magazine. He's a great guy.
Well, the Action Martial Art Magazine is a mainstay around the country, because the one thing that I really enjoyed about the coverage of your magazine is that you covered the whole United States. You didn't just cover the East Coast or Texas, which is their own country, but still, the United States, you really did an amazing job. Now, let's talk about Jason Lau. How did you get hooked up with the great Jason Lau and start studying Wing Chun? Because that's your style, correct?
Well, I've been with Jason now going on 49 years, believe it or not. And we had met in Madison Square Garden with the late Aaron Banks' show. And I had met him at the show for a few minutes, whatever. And then one day, maybe 2 weeks later, I'm walking down the street on Flappish Avenue. And I run into him. He was working in the store there. And I had a school down the about 3 blocks away. And he says, oh, why don't you come to the school? So I went up to school, and I eventually took all my students, and we moved up to his school. And within, like, 6 weeks, believe it or not, I moved into the school. It was a temple, 2 floors. I moved in, and I lived there with him for 6 years.
Wow.
So we got extremely – I was his number one student, still am. And we're actually working on a movie called Flappish Life right now about our two lives. And I don't want to say how it ended, because we're not going to end, but –
Before we talk about the festival, I want to say something to my listeners. I remember it was Michael DePasquale's Junior Roast, honoring his dad who passed away. We were in New Jersey, and I remember we were backstage, and someone said something about, oh, Alan Goldberg, he's not that good. He can't do whatever. And I remember you and I, we did Sticky Hands, and I saw incredible how talented you are. And Sticky Hands, by the way, for the listeners, that is a drill that's used in Wing Chun. And Mr. Goldberg, or Alan, you are incredible. You know, you are as quick. I wonder why you never fought in competition, or did you in the early years?
I actually did a little bit, but I always admit there were some guys in our school that was better than I. And I didn't want to have my face broken open. I was a young guy, long hair, good looking. I didn't want to look ugly anymore, you know, at that point. So I didn't do too much comedy. But I was actually involved And I remember we spoke about this once. I was involved with the old Chinatown death matches. And I was
The rooftop matches. The matches were on the roof.
Not that Kumite stuff people talk about. This was the real deal.
Well, I remember that when I went up there with Chario Murasaki and Paul Vizio one time, years ago, back in the 70s. Now, I was blown away by the real fighting that was up there. It was all kung fu. The karate guys thought you guys were crazy.
I was the bodyguard for the opponent who was fighting Paul Vizio.
Really? Cool.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. And the story is wild, like you see in a movie, where there were sides picked. One side had 30, 40 guys. The other side had 30, 40 guys. And it was almost a war. And we had it in Seward Park, a school there, that they locked the doors, and no one got out until the end of the fight. And they actually had to stop the fights because there was so much blood all over the stage.
Well, I remember being an ignorant black belt, and I asked a couple of questions. One, I was scared to death for these people that were fighting because they had a tape or a rope. That was the only thing that would drop people from not going off the roofs. And also, I always wondered why they did it up on the roofs. Well, they basically told me it was because they didn't want to deal with the police or anybody who was watching who didn't deserve to watch. And that was kind of cool, I thought. Well,
it was a wild time. Wild time.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you a quick something else. I was dressed in a nice three-piece suit, and they gave me a badge to wear, and I had no idea it was in Chinese. I had no idea. So after the fights were over, I walked back out myself, and I said to myself, I'll see you later. I had a date. I had to go meet, whatever it was. And I'm walking with this badge on and never took it off. I didn't think about it. And I had people running away from me in the street. And the wind-up was that everyone in Chinatown knew about the death match. But all of a sudden they see to hear this guy walking down this lofan walking down the street with a badge on saying the bodyguard. So everyone's wondering, who the hell is this guy? So we had some wild times down in Chinatown back in the days.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, that's a lot. That was back in the 70s and 80s. New York has always been glorious. And, you know, I was with Tadashi Nakamura and William Oliver and back in the 70s. And I got to hang out and meet Fred Hamilton and Mr. Cofield and Thomas the Puppet. It was an incredible group of people. Do you remember Golly Bum? Eric Banks put on one of the first full combat fights there ever was at the Madison Square Garden. I remember what was the Golly Bum. It was an incredible fight. It was like the Dragon, the Black Dragon. What was it, Ron Van Cleef? He was a big fighter back in the day, too.
Well, one of the guys that were fighting back there was Louis Neglia. And Yeah, and Louis, ironically, today me and Louis are still friends. We know each other 45 years or better. And Louis is like five blocks from me to this day. So we see each other and go to lunch a lot.
Well, after the show, we need to talk because we need to make him a history journal for the museum.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
Yes, sir. But let's talk about your vision because literally when I tell my listeners and people who do research, they'll know what I'm saying is true. You literally have the largest martial art festival in the world, bar none. Now, what was your vision when you first started what you've done at the Tropicana for years? What was your vision?
I say this, and it gets me in trouble sometimes, but I really don't give a crap. But I said I had to pay the bills. I had a magazine that was free, and advertising didn't cover it, so we started to do things, and this event, I had a friend of mine who was the president of the hotel, and he said, well, come on, do a little thing in my event. And the first time out, I had 1,400 people show up to my banquet. So
we were
just blown away, and then we continued. And really was, for the first, I'll say maybe 11, 12 years, we just did it to raise money to pay for the magazine. Because to this day, I have to tell the audience that we've printed over 500,000 copies in 82 issues. To this day, that we gave away free. So that didn't come from nowhere. And, you know, the event helped us along. And I even say the event, I lost my shirt for 11 years. But, you know, you keep working on things and trying different things, and things get better as you go along.
Well, what date do you have planned for January? I know it's coming up here real soon. What date
is
it this year?
January 27th, 28th, and 29th, and 30th. And I say the 27th, that's not an official day, but all my celebrities and people start coming. The hotel gets crazy with me because I ask for rooms from Tuesday night until Sunday because a lot of people will come from all over the country, all over the world, and spend, 5 days at the Tropicana. You know, it's in the greatest place on the coast, and people come in just for a vacation. So we're pretty lucky that we're able to pull. We started off with a one-day show, and we're now actually up to a four-day show.
Wow. Now, tell my listeners a little bit what you got going on, because it really is incredible. You got a huge vendor show. You have tournaments. You have special appearances.
Let me just touch a few things just for the audience. I had to tell you, the banquet that I do is only 1/20th of the whole event, okay?
Yes, sir.
And popular in all over the world. We have over 40 countries coming. Actually, this year we had a little problem with the COVID, so some of the countries couldn't get in, but we average usually between 35 and 40 different countries. And, you know, people say, oh, the event. Well, we vet everybody by either the board or by alumni. We do not, and I have to say this so people know, we do not sell rank or give rank to anybody. All I do is why we call ourselves a Hall of Honors is because we just honor people's accomplishments. There's no trick. There's no nothing. We do that. But, again, we have to run it like a business because if you run it any other way, you're sitting in the church basement giving everyone a chicken dinner and sending them home. That's not what the martial arts deserves. We deserve to be held up like any other sport or any other, you know, property that does events like this. So to me, it was very important to do this with class and dignity. So our event, we start off basically on the Friday, and I got some great new things. And people will understand what I'm doing. This year, we have a group coming in from Brazil, actually a South American group, and we're doing a whole morning event from actually starts at 10 a.m., and we're doing a whole police practice, police jiu-jitsu, holds, blocks, everything else is all involved in this. And these are my guys coming out of South America. We probably have about maybe 18 different guys coming in and running it's an international program. So that we're pretty excited. Then the same day we start off in the afternoon, we have it's actually like a Greco-Roman wrestling tournament going on. And that's something brand new we just brought in. Then we have another thing tonight. We have a youth program going on with teaching people different things, how to run businesses. We have Bill Wallace actually running his own examination camp that night. All right, and then we have our famous Friday night party. Our last party, we had close to 800 people showed up, and it's just a get together where we all just hang out, we drink, we party, we dance. It's just a great event, and all the celebrities show up, so it really turns out to be a great thing. So that's our Friday.
That's exciting because you mentioned Bill. You know, Bill called me yesterday, and he's coming to the event we're doing in October. We're honoring Judge Roy Kirvin. He's doing a seminar for me Friday night. But Bill's a great guy. I know he's supported you every year. I mean, he loves your event. And, you know,
I just got off the phone a little while ago with Terry Dow, his number one guy. And Bill's got coming in with probably about 20 people to the event. Okay? We also have Joe Lewis group coming in also. We got about maybe 20 guys coming in from the Joe Lewis and Waco group. So we get an array of all different type of people. And just to go on a little further for our Saturday event, we actually have our regular War at the Shore tournament. We have a Kyokushin Kai tournament. We have all different things with the expo and trade show going on. And then, of course, Saturday night we have our banquet. We have 50 seminars by the best in the world weekend also. And Sunday, it's the same thing with the expo all over again, except we have a jiu-jitsu tournament. We have a breaking tournament. We have this year, the first time ever, we have a professional arm wrestling tournament. And we have about 150 competitors for that. So it's a weekend almost like Disney World. You want to come and have a good, we have something for everyone. And if the ladies come and don't want to do martial arts, they got the casino right down with all the shopping. So it's an event that people can come to and just enjoy themselves. It's not a matter. I always tell people if you're coming to, you know, be braggadocious about your belts and what you did and whatever. It's not the place. It's the place to have a community and be part of the martial art community.
Yes, sir. Well, my event that I've done in October, and this year we're doing Judge Roy Kerbin, I've really kind of followed in your footsteps by bringing people to a gathering instead of a bunch of egotistic black belts or, whatever. And the thing about it is I'm excited. This is the first time I've mentioned it, but I want to make it publicly and officially that I got permission from you a couple of weeks ago. We get to honor you in 2024. How exciting is that?
As long as I don't throw
cool.
tomatoes, I have no problem, but it's okay. I'm honored,
healthy.
And I appreciate that.
Well, you better stay healthy because, we got Soaky Frank Sanchez next year, but you're in 2024, and
right.
I promise you, Houston is going to have open arms for the great Alan Goldberg. Now, tell me about, you got the Kyokushin tournament, arm wrestling tournament. Do you have a karate event, too, for the karate
yep.
competitors?
Well, that's my
okay.
partner, Jose
cool.
Torres, and I do together, and we have a war on the shore. So we cover about everything you could think. There's nothing we don't cover.
Plus, you throw in the casino where people get tired of walking around the big, huge vendor show you have. They can always go gamble. That's really cool.
Well, we have been, told by the casino, the people, the upper piece, we bring in over $1 million in that casino over the weekend.
That's
so
amazing.
It's a pretty exciting event.
Now, you've got a podcast, you've got a television show, you got a paper. What else do you have going on right now with your publicity?
I'm still doing the Action Magazine with Jose. I'm doing another one called the Tao Wing Chun, and we're doing another one called Hollywood Martial Arts. So we got three magazines being printed. We're involved with a 24-hour day channel, which we'll be getting off right after the event. At my podcast, and I'm also doing the pay-per-view. I'm a color commentator for pay-per-view shows, and I own the company also for Fight Card USA.
That's incredible. Well, if anybody's out there that's listening and you want to just get involved with media and, get involved with producing and promoting, I want to ask you, Alan, what would you suggest to the beginner? What would they need to do to really kick off and do it a bit? What would you suggest to them?
I don't know if you ever heard this bird called the I can do. And
yes, sir.
That's what most people are. They're the I can do birds, meaning they say they can do it and they never do it. And why? Because they just keep saying that. And I look at it, this is you have to sit down, figure out the best way that you make everyone happy, number one. But the best way that you can be honest in what you do, all right? The minute you don't get the honesty, and we all get knocked, Jesse with his event, mine with my event, and usually you get knocked by the people that are jealous of what you do. And I tell people all the time, you're free to do what I do. Not a problem. But guess what? Very few people are able to pull it off. You pulled off your event. You do it year after year. Jesse pulls out his. There are a lot of great events that I support over the years. But then again, there are some that we don't support because they don't do the right thing for the martial art public.
Yes,
we've got
to
be honest in what we do.
Well, you and I, we've been doing it. Well, I've been doing mine since 1999. When did you start the festival? Was it 99 or 2000?
Actually, 2000 we started it. And, my first year we didn't even do a festival. We just had a few seminars. And
right.
within 2-3 years it built, last year before COVID, we had probably about almost 3,000 to 4,000 people came to our expo.
Wow. Now, the other thing, too, you're from the Bronx. Now, the reputation of the
Brooklyn.
Bronx.
From Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Is Bronx,
okay.
Is that Brooklyn? That's two different places?
Yeah, two different boroughs.
Well, see. Okay, I didn't know that. Now, Brooklyn is tough, too. I mean, they got a hell of a reputation. What was it like doing martial arts in the middle of Brooklyn?
Well, that's why most people start, believe it or not, when, I was mugged as a kid, and I got involved with martial arts because I had a friend of mine that was studying the International School of Karate with Mr. Kazuki, and George Cofield was one of my instructors. And there were very few schools around anywhere.
Animals. Yeah.
Wow. You know, so you got involved. You were very lucky at the time because, truthfully, not like now where you go every corner is a martial arts school. Back then, very few, and you had to seek them out.
Now, you still have a quote in Brooklyn?
Yeah, yeah. My school is there in this location over 10 years, 20 years at another location.
Now, how would people get in touch with you if they wanted to train and come in Wing Chun or learn from the great Alan Goldberg?
Well, I just give them my number, and I pick the phone up, so it's 718-856-8070. Or just catch me on Facebook. I'm there like 18 hours a day, so under Alan Goldberg.
Now, so, if someone wants to come in January, you said January 22nd, or when is it? 23rd, 24th?
28th, 29th, 30th. The 3 days are open.
Okay. Okay. How will they get in touch with you about the event?
Again, hit me up on Facebook or hit me up, you know, call my number. Get my email is actionma4@gmail.com, and I answer everything within one day.
And is there an individual cost per ticket for the vendor show, or is that?
My ticket, and I'll just give the other, it's $165 for 3 days. That gives you the trade show and expo, 50 seminars, entrance to all the tournaments, the Friday night VIP party. We were working on something else that didn't work out. Most of the other events, we have a Wing Chun movie that we're producing. We have open call for that. So we have a lot of little events. We have the Guardian Angels there with Curtis Leewall. We've got about 70 to 80 guys coming in from the Guardian Angels that run different things at the event. So we get some very interesting things. So they get all that. Plus the banquet on Friday night, we give door prizes out, we have entertainment, tons of stuff going on. And so only $165 for 3 days.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, you mentioned Curtis. Did he go for mayor? Did he run for mayor yet?
He did win. I was trying to help him locally because we're good friends. I was helping him with his progress here in the New York area. But it's a Democratic city. And he was Republican running against that. But he did very well by the numbers. He almost got one-third of the vote in New York, where the Republican votes are only about 10%. So he had a lot of crossovers from the Democratic Party. So he didn't win, but he's actually going to be running against our friend Mr. Schumer for Congress.
Wow.
For the Senate, I should say.
You know, Mr. Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yes.
When he started the Guardian Angels, I was one of the first guys to start teaching his groups back in the early 80s in Cleveland.
Well, a fast little story about that. Me and Sifu Lau started our own street patrol 2 years before Curtis did. Okay?
Really?
And we were covered by the newspapers and everything. When Curtis came up, he looks at me and says, "You son of a bitch." He goes, "You were out before us." But we never did it in the group like it. He's a very... very successful in a lot of things he does. He's a wonderful guy. And I give him a lot of credit because he really did. We did it as a bunch of guys coming from, a kung fu school for coffee. And we just catch guys in the street that were breaking the law and we beat them up at night.
Well, listen, Alan, I've got to do a couple segments here, but we'll be right back with you and we'll play the Legends Name Game where I hit you with a couple names, some of your friends, and you get to talk about them. So don't go nowhere. I'll be right back. Okay, sir?
Thank you. I'm honored. Honored and everyone else, I'm honored that you're on the show also. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the great Alan Goldberg, the founder of the Martial Art Festival in Atlantic City that's coming up here, and he'll be right back. But I'm excited about this next few minutes because we put together a couple segments just for you. And the first one is called The Six. Now, this is where the museum has put together six amazing people to talk about topics each week that might benefit and help you interest yourself in the martial arts. And the first lady, and the only lady of the group, I'd like to introduce her. She's a Shoryu Karate stylist and also a Kung Fu stylist, a former PKL champion. I'm talking about the amazing Karen Slatcher. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sitting right here.
Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, honey.
Happy
How you
New
doing?
Happy New Year to you and to everybody. Oh, I'm doing great. Doing fine.
Good.
I didn't get snowed in like some people did.
Well, the question this week for you for this sex is, in your martial art journey, Karen, name a couple of things you would have done different to enhance your training in your martial arts now. Is there a couple of things you would have done different?
Yeah, I would have learned the internal arts sooner. I would have found a way. Of course, I came up, you took what you could find in my small area. But I always knew there was more to this than just the yang side. And my teachers didn't have time. You know, my teachers didn't have time to teach. I was a little kid. They weren't going to spend a lot of time teaching me the meditation and things. And I just wish I'd pushed it harder, because by the time I got into the healing and the energy work and Qigong, I realized, you know, I was starting pretty late. I was in my 40s, 50s, you know. I would have wished I had found it and pushed it. Even if it was just yoga, I wish I had done more of that.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate you so much, and I wish you a very, very happy New Year, Karen. And I want
you
to
know Happy New Year to you.
That you're one of my inspirations to do this show weekly. And thank you so much for your opinions and your vision of the future. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the incredible Karen Slatcher. So thank you, honey. And moving right along, did David Chambers call in yet? David, are you there? Okay. We're going to move right along.
Yes, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. David, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, Happy New Year, young man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. David Chambers. He's the president of the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate, which runs the Texas Sport Karate Group, and been around since 1979. And, you know, if you go to Facebook, you can read the story about the AOK, but David Chambers is an amazing man. I've known him since he was in Orange Belt, but what the heck. The bottom line is he runs this organization now, and he's got vision. But tonight's question is for him. Here we go. You ready, D.E.?
I think I'm ready.
You can change. Okay, in your journey, buddy, name a couple of things you would have maybe done different to enhance your martial art training out. Can you give me a couple of things?
There would be three things that I might would change. Number one is I would have spent more time training. I did train well, but I started running the school early. And when I ran the school, I spent a lot of time teaching, and I spent less time training. I think one thing I would have loved to do is just do some training, because some of the times I hear people say, oh, man, my training was like this, and I enjoyed the time that I did train, but I think I didn't start training differently early because I was teaching a lot. That's one thing I probably would have changed. The second thing that I would have changed is when I listen to instructors or high-ranked individuals talk, when I was coming up, it was just something boring. I look back at it now, and I got so much from it. I wish I would have spent more time with some of the grandmasters and some of the different ones that got more of the wisdom and some of the talk and some of the conversation, because that has really benefited me tremendously. And I was just talking to my instructor recently, Fred Simon, Grandmaster Simon. I took him on a trip, and we was riding. I learned more on that trip than I can remember, you know, in a long time. So I really
Amen.
Appreciated that. I know that was huge for me, huge. And then the third thing, I would have met Gary Lee before I was an Orange Belt.
Oh, you're blessed. You're blessed. Thank you. Well, you're one of my heroes, buddy, believe it or not, because it took me 17 years to win the Golden Greek Award, and you won, what, 5, 6? Heck, I lost count, but you're an amazing fighter, an amazing visionary, and I appreciate your opinion and everything you give to the six every week. God bless you, Dee. I wish you a happy New Year, buddy. You're welcome. Now, moving right along, part of the six is a very special man. Now, he is a co-founder of the BKF, Black Karate Federation. He worked in the beginning years of Black Belt Magazine, and he was a direct student of the great Joe Louis, the amazing heavyweight world champion. I'm talking about Mr. Jerry Smith. Jerry, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, Happy New Year, sir. Happy New Year. Well,
New Year to you.
The question applies to you, sir, please, because I know you've done amazing things. You were the bodyguard of Ringo Starr of the Beatles for Helen Reddy. You've been around celebrities all your life. You've done amazing things. But what would you have changed if you did anything to enhance your training that you do now? Is there anything?
Yes, I'll tell you what I would have changed after I tell you a little bit about what happened to me. Well, when I came out of the Marine Corps, I went up, and about that time I met Joe Louis, and went to the East Coast, had a studio in Arlington, Virginia, came back, went back to school, got my degree, and I was rated regionally by Black Belt Magazine as top five fighters, like Benny Aristides and all the top guys back in those days, because I was a fighter. That's what I loved to do. And what happened was they did a little article or something in Black Belt Magazine, and I was up there, and the owner of Black Belt, Mito Uehara, came back and started talking to me, and he said, "Hey, kid, what are you doing? I said, "Well, I'm in school right now." He says, "When you graduate, come and see me. You know, we can always, what are you studying?" I said, "Well, I'm studying commercial art graphic design." He goes, "We can always use another designer around here." He goes, "When you graduate, come and see me." The day after I graduated, not a week, the day. And we're talking like, you know, 4 years later. I go up to the magazine. I got my portfolio. I got everything. I walk in and the young Japanese girl who was at the, that was, you know, taking people in. And I said, "I'm here to see Mr. Uehara." She said, "Well, do you have an appointment?" And I said, "No." And she looked at me like, "Are you crazy?" And "You don't have the foot." And Dick Hennessy just happened to walk out and went, "Jerry." And I went, Jerry. And he goes, and I go, he says, "Jerry, don't worry about a thing." He goes, let's go. "Come on in, man." So he went and knocked on Mito's door. Mito was in his office. And he goes, "Mito, do you remember this guy? This is Jerry Smith. You told him when he graduates to come and up to see, and we'd give him a job here." Mito looked at me like, "Who the hell is this guy? I don't remember this kid." But being Japanese I always say he was the most samurai-like person I ever met in my life. His word was everything. He says, "Well, instead of saying anything, instead of looking at my portfolio, instead of looking at my resume," he looked at Dick and said, "Dick, why don't you take Jerry back and show him where he'll be working?" And later on, he told me, "You know, you're the first guy to ever work here who didn't come in with the..." I did. I had him with me, but you never asked me for him. But what happened was a lot of the entertainers that I ended up working with, a lot of actors, a lot of singers, famous people, were through Black Belt Magazine. Whenever anyone called Black Belt Magazine and they wanted to learn, John Conklin and I were the first two Black Belts to work at Black Belt Magazine.
Corky, yeah.
Yeah, and what he would say, what Mito would always send me, you know, he would always send me, he goes, you know, John's a kata guy. You know, we don't want to send somebody out there and they get beat up. So he would send me. And through that, I ended up teaching, of course, the most famous would be Ringo Starr, Helen Reddy, and Jeff Wall, Marvin. I ended up doing bodyguard work for Marvin Gaye. I was in charge of security for the Greek Theater, and ended up working with people like Barry White, Engelbert Humperdinck, Shirley Bassey. I ended up teaching the first black blonde girl, Gloria Hendricks, and Bernie Casey, who was the first Black Felix, then James Bond. And
wasn't Gloria there when we got inducted to the Hall of Fame last year?
Yes, she was.
Didn't you introduce
me
to Gloria? Yeah.
Yeah, she was. Well, you know, I could go on and on. I'm not going to put you guys through all that. But, you know, for a little black kid that came out of the bayous of Louisiana to work for Black Belt Magazine and to do and meet the people that I met, world-famous architect Frank Gehry. I mean, just so many people. So now I'll tell you what I would change.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't change a thing. I would not change a single thing, man. I mean, it would.
Yes, sir.
Why would I change anything? It was wonderful. I'm blessed. That's what I can tell you.
No, I'm blessed to have the wisdom of all your years of martial art expertise on the show, and I want to thank you so much for the wisdom you have. And now I get to say this because as of today, you're going to be the graphic designer and you're going to be talking to the lady that'll be putting together. Well, let's talk about your protege. You have been with him since he was 16 years old. He's a member of the Six, and, you know, you raised him, literally. We're talking about Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And
aren't you excited? I mean, today I got an official that Uncle Jerry Smith is interested in helping the web page become more graphic. Isn't that cool?
I don't know if that's the way I put it, but yeah, great.
There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Gary, I want to tell you one. I just want to say one thing.
Yes, sir.
I love that man. I've known him since he was 16 years old, and he's just a total big part of my life. And I don't mean to take up your time, Tom, but I just wanted you to know how much I love you, man.
Well, I'm growing to love him, too, Uncle Jerry. I really am. Let me introduce him. He is a professor. He teaches full-time. He's from the old school, and he, like I said, he grew up with Uncle Jerry Smith. But he is also the web designer of the Sport Karate Museum webpage, and soon to be working with Jerry Smith on graphic design and making it, well, incredible. But anyway, Tom, I want to ask you, buddy, would you have changed anything in your career to make it what it is today? Would you add anything? Or?
Well, I don't think I'd change anything in the sense that the blessings that I had, you know, I think it's a catch-22. You know, I had the opportunity being a young kid, you know, and starting really early in my life in the martial arts to go seeking out people, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And I remember, you know, opportunities where I'd be sitting across the counter from, you know, Grandmaster Ark Y. Wong and, you know, sitting and having tea with Bong Soo Han and so many other incredible people.
Wow.
At that age, I didn't necessarily have any sophistication of what kinds of questions I could have asked that really would have made a big difference to me now. But I got a chance to experience whatever they were offered to give me in who they were, how they were, watching, you know, Grandmaster Wong correct students, you know, from behind his counter, you know, and in front of all his apothecary stuff that he had from doing his medicine work. Well, you know, there are so many questions that now I would have asked had I had the opportunity. But I learned a lot of other stuff that was just given to me because I was there and I was a sponge and I was patient and I was in awe of all these wonderful people that I got exposed to, besides my teachers who were actually giving me the information. So now, fast forward to today, my approach has changed in that now when I'm working with my students and anybody that, you know, is interested in whatever it is that I might know, I'm trying to answer the questions that I would have wanted to have asked of them by asking myself and giving that information as, you know, reliably as I can to the people that I am working with and possibly affecting in my process. And one of the greatest opportunities that I now have at my disposal is this museum and your vision, because this is an opportunity for me, you know, to take the things that I want to be able to share, all the history that I learned and all the things that I've accumulated, and I can get it to a much higher or larger, broader audience and affect more people, and hopefully they will at least have the advantage of getting some of the questions that I did not get a chance to ask when I was young and, an opportunity today. And so the History Museum is giving me that opportunity. And getting to work with my teacher, you know, Sensei Smith, is one of the greatest opportunities and honors I can think of to be able to, you know, work on that platform and give strength and clarity to the things that the museum stands for and that we want to see go forward. So would I change it? No. But now I am trying to make sure that I am giving everything that I can and thinking in those terms rather than just being sporadic in what I say and what I do. I'm trying to serve more than just, just talk.
Well, you're doing a heck of a job. And, I was sharing with Uncle Jerry today the actual website, and I'll say it right now, but the one thing we thought it was a little long. But for people who want to go there and see the work that this amazing man has done, Tom Spellman, along with people like Jim Moore and other people who are contributing, God bless, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com and then a /, and then home, and then .html. And it's really an amazing thing that you've done just in these past few months. And I'm excited now that Uncle Jerry Smith is involved, and we're going to make it, just stronger and better as we go forward. But, your opinion is so important on the Sixth, Tom, because I know you bring a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge to the Sixth. I want to thank you so much, and I wish you a happy new year to you and your kids and your lovely wife. God bless you, Tom Spellman. Now,
thank you. Moving right along.
Yes, sir.
Jerry. I really seriously am asking all of our history generals out there, those that are listening and those that can tell others that didn't hear, that we really would like to very much have people, giving us histories of their school, their traditional, and not so traditional organizations or whatever it is, so that we can add that to the museum and expand our influence and our opportunities of educating everybody else. I can do all I can do from the history standpoint of stuff that I'm doing right now, but there's so much current history that needs to be told and needs to be shared, and I need help with other people that really know that history to be able to submit information to me so we can get it in there and get it on the page. Thank you.
Well, that's exciting. And, I'm excited about our new adventure because we have the House of America, the House of Japan, the House of Okinawa, House of China, and the House of Korea. But we're soon to be working on with Uncle Jerry Smith and Mike Brennan, Jeff Smith, Bill Wallace on the House of American Kickboxing. And we're doing that. We're working on that. But there's a lot of exciting things that's going to be coming soon for the Sport Karate Museum. But moving right along, one of my co-hosts, I want to ask his opinion. AJ, are you there, buddy?
I'm here.
Okay, what would you do if you had a chance to change or modify your training you did for what you're doing now, said the question. How would you change anything?
Not my training at all. I was very blessed. I have some tremendous instructors. My first instructor was not only a tremendous Muay Thai man, but he was also on the Korean Olympic team until he blew his knee out. Very wise man. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time here because I know you're running out of time. You won't get Mr. Goldberg back on. But it really influenced me. I've been running this school for 41 years, and I wouldn't change a thing. if there was anything I'd change, it would be, you know, there's a lot of goofy people in martial art. There's a lot of great people. And I would have tried to avoid more of the goofy people through the years. It's amazing. There's a full spectrum in martial art. But that would be the only thing I changed or would have changed. But, you know, I feel blessed, you know, in my training and my past and, you know, and hopefully my future. So I wouldn't change a thing other than that.
Well,
so,
thank you.
You know, I know Mr. Goldberg, you know, he's got some time here coming up, and, you know, I don't want to take too much time up.
Well, I appreciate it. Now, I need one more last person of the six, Mr. Dean Piles. Dean, you there?
I'm here, sir.
Okay. In your martial art journey,
here, sir.
Name a couple of things you would have done different to enhance your martial art journey now. Would you have changed anything?
Well, you know, I'm like AJ. No, I mean, you know, I was lucky enough to train with Joe Louis, which put me in the presence of Bill Wallace, as I call Uncle Bill, and Michael D. Pasquale. So, I mean, I grew up with them, and, you know, I got to train with a lot of really good, important people. So, you know, really nothing in my training would I change. Like I told you before, I was lucky enough to get set on the right path. God blessed me enough to put me on the right path with the right people. And, you know, I'm glad I did, you know.
Well, I wish you a happy, happy new year, Dean. And I appreciate your opinion. And God bless you. Now, don't go nowhere. Wake up the Wolverine because I'm going to bring him on in just a few minutes. The ladies and gentlemen, that was the incredible six and with their opinions on that particular question. But another segment that we do that's very exciting, we're involved with virtual reality. And if you don't know what virtual reality is, it's where you, inside the program of the headset, you get to go inside the program. Now, I had the inventor of something that was created a few years ago. It's called SetVR.app, which means self-defense enhanced training in virtual reality application. But I have the inventor with me, Dr. Reginald Lee. Are you there, Reggie?
Yes, sir. How are you this evening? How's everyone?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm excited because it's the first show of the season. But explain to my listeners what exactly is SetVR.
Sure. We continue to be super, super excited about SetVR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality. That's a platform whereby one can practice their skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when they want. The program is portable and compact, and you can take it anywhere you travel. And even during a pandemic, you can continue to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing. With the Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal with SetVR, to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random, to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements, to avoid and place you in an opportunity position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, muscle memory, and the goal of developing a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation as you would as if you placed your hand on a hot stove. You remove your hand because of a reflex, because of a threat. The platform is a program where you can practice and to utilize what you've been taught in techniques and katas in a program of application and to practice against a random attack, which is a sudden attack, anytime, anywhere you want. We plan to have updates in regards to multiple attackers, a home invasion, a barroom setting, and even a war zone setting. SetVR will push you maximally to your limits in self-defense. We recently have updated our program with kicking, punching combination, and knife attacks. As you know, knife attacks are very dangerous up and close. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation exercise, and we'll also introduce you to your own personal yoga instructor. So please continue to visit our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be a future platform of his vision of the history portal, for which SetVR has introduced Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior in our history portal demo. Before meeting the Wisdom Warrior, one must neutralize this hologram attacker at the gate of the history portal. With that being said, some few words, Professor Gary Lee, please, about your vision of the history portal.
Well, a portal is very exciting because once you defeat the hologram, you get to go to their portal. Now, we're going to start with the core group, Mr. Stone, J. Pat Burleson, Alan Steen, just to name a few. And then every month we'll add a new history general. So eventually all the history generals, their portals will be there. So the player that goes to setvr.app will actually go inside and learn about these incredible men and women who have contributed to martial arts in America. And I'm so proud to be a part of this adventure, Reggie. And thank you for letting the museum be a part of it. And I want to wish you personally a very, very happy new year, sir. I mean that from the heart.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, no, thank you. Thank you. Now, the last segment we're going to do before we bring on Mr. Goldberg, it's one of my favorites. It's called 3 Minutes with the Wolverine. This is where we kind of let the Wolverine say what he means, and he means what he says, and he can back it up. Now, tonight we have a very good question for him because it portrays one of the things that he's involved with now. He's working on a movie called The Coward. But here's a question. Wolverine, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here, sir.
Okay, here's your question, buddy. How does the Wolverine feel about the introduction of martial arts in a movie media set background? And what is the message you feel that should be stated, particularly The Coward? And which stars you in the upcoming year? But what makes The Coward different than these other movies that are coming out in the martial arts?
I can tell you, one thing that makes The Coward different is, you know, we brought on a great cast, and we've got a great crew filming, you know, and that's going to help a lot. I think that one of the main problems with martial artists in movies is somehow or another the people, you know, they pick people that may not give, or the directors don't really know that much about martial arts, so they kind of film it in a bad light, or they film the fight scenes kind of staccatoed, where it's like a hop, 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 and it, you know, needs to be a fight scene. And, you know, one thing we wanted to bring back was movies nowadays are a lot of smoke and mirrors, or jinjitsu, or what you call CGI, where they can, you know, make things look better and things like that, and they film a lot of stuff in single shots. And what we are doing is we're filming our stuff in master sets, because of the people that we have, and we're able to do those master sets. And that way, the fight flows and continuously flows without looking anything broke up and things of that nature. So, like I say, we've been training for the last, 3 hours stunt fighting. We just wrapped it up. And, I mean, we've been doing that. We had some people come in to talk about class, and they thought we was in a dang brawl in there. And I thought they were going to walk back out the door and call the police.
That's funny.
But, you know, they didn't. So, you know, we're lucky in that, and it's because of the talent that we brought on and that we put in the movie. You know, these people have been in the martial arts for a long time. They know what they're doing. They know how to, you know, sell the techniques. They know how to sell on both sides of the fence, the beatings and the beating. So, you know, they can sell that. And what's better is they're good actors on top of that. And they really work, because martial artists, they like to work hard. And a lot of Hollywood don't like to give martial artists a lot of credit. But these guys have been training their acting skills, and it clicks together to when you hear the dialogue. It, you know, we do the reads, it sounds like just a group of buddies just talking if you were listening in. It's just like us talking now because everybody's
well,
talking.
Well, you know what I'm excited, Dean?
I mean,
about is that we have a Art Camacho Stunt Person's Award, a Kim Kahana Senior Stunt Person's Award, and the Steve Lambert Lambo Award. And I know that you've been nominated for the Kim Kahana Senior Award for stunt work. Now, Kim Kahana and Tadashi Yamashita had the first stunt school in Hollywood. He now has one of the largest stunt schools in Florida near you. But you're receiving, I believe, the Kim Kahana Award this year. You were nominated, and you actually won it last year, but you were receiving it this year at the event. So congratulations, and God bless you on the coward. I wish you all the luck and the best success that you can have. Now, thank you, everybody on the six. Thank you, Wolverine. Thank you, Dr. Lee. I want to bring back my special guest. Alan, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to hit you with a couple of names before we get off the air.
I just want to say one thing.
Yes, sir, of course.
For you and Dr. Lee. At my event, we have a vendors display. We have over 100 vendors, and I'd like to offer a free booth to Dr. Lee if he'd like to come down and display what he's doing. You know, we've got a great audience.
That'd be exciting. Well, I promise that after the show, I will tell Dr. Lee all about your event. I will do that.
Thank you,
Alan. And that's exciting, Alan. You know, you're one of the good guys, without a doubt. But I got to ask you about I'm a big fan of his since, you know, the SNL days. I'm talking about Joe Piscopo. I know he comes to your event every year. How did you build a relationship with Joe Piscopo?
Yeah, Joe is actually my student. He studied a short time when we were working on a movie together. And Joe just turned out to be such a I became like a third son to his family. They just such a wonderful human being. I mean, this guy gives his time to help people all the time, donations for different groups and things. The man is just a wonderful human being. And I'm hoping that he runs for governor for New Jersey, hopefully next year, too.
Yes, sir. Now, man that is one of my, biggest heroes. In fact, his dad, before he passed, I knew I was his last ninth-degree black belt he promoted. I'm talking about the great Michael DePasquale Jr. Now, he was one of your hosts.
I was there when you got your ninth.
How did you build up a relationship with Michael?
Well, Michael and I, it's very odd. We knew each other for years, and I don't know how it is. We just became best of friends. And I just spoke to Michael today. He was going to try to make it to the event, but he's still not up to it yet. And I just have to tell the audience he's doing 100% better. I mean, he's doing much better than he was. And hopefully for the next 6 months, 8 months, he'll be walking a little better than he is. He's working right now on, so many different things with the people that are helping him with things, you know, from different walks of life. So Michael's doing much better, just for the audience to know that.
Well, you know, I want him to definitely be there when we honor you in 2024. I know he'll try to be there. But, you know, you touch so many people's lives. And I want to ask you before we get off the air, who is your hero? I know that Joe Louis, you were close to Joe. But do you have any heroes you'd like to mention about?
I just got to tell people to this day, still my Sifu, still Jason Lau. Again, we've been together close to 49 years. And, you know, he's kind of like me. He's quiet about our martial arts. But this, when you talk about a mercenary, worked for the government and black ops, this was the guy, but very few people know about it. And very, very talented man. And I don't just mean martial arts, but his whole life. And we go back to the story when we lived together. We used to fight over a slice of pizza. And now he became a multi-millionaire at this point.
That's funny.
So I'm very proud of him that he's made a wonderful life for himself.
Well, you've been a mentor of mine, and you're actually one of my original history journals back in the day when we created the Sport Crime Museum. Would you, what do you think about what the Sport Crime Museum is about? How can we improve it, you feel?
I'm very proud of you, what you have done, because I know when you started it and what you were up against. And I don't know if there's that many more improvements that you can do because you're on the right track. And I just you've had your medical problems and stuff like that, but you've never given up on it. And I'm proud to say that, you know, I watch your progress with everything, what you've done, and, you know, I'm proud of you as a friend.
But you're my hero. But I want to make sure the people who are listening know how to get in contact again about going to your event coming up in just a few weeks. Tell everybody again how to get in touch with you, please.
My phone number is my office number is 718-856-8070. If I'm not there, you'll get a message to my other number, and I always tell people, text me if you can. And my email is simple as actionma4@gmail.com or on Facebook, and I get back to you within 24 hours. So.
Yes, sir. Well,
and even if somebody got a question
so
about something, I have no problem speaking to people on the phone. You know, it's a great thing to be involved with the martial art community, no matter where you come from.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate your time tonight, Alan, because I know you're so busy, especially with the event coming up in just a couple of weeks. But you're very special, and you open my show, my season, every year, and I appreciate that. And it means so much. And, you know, I want to tell the listeners, you know, you hear about martial artists, you hear about what they've done and what they are and what they tell you what they've done. But let me tell you something about Alan Goldberg. He's a real deal. He walks the walk. He talks the talk. And he can back it up. Even though, you know, people might think of whatever. But let me tell you something. He's more than a producer. He really cares. And you can ask about the people that go to his event, because they can tell you he treats everybody. I mean, everybody, even if you don't know you, the same. So God bless you, Alan Goldberg. Thank you for being on this show, and I appreciate you so much.
Same here, Gary.
I always
try to support you, what you do, because you're doing a great. Same thing with Jesse and all your, you know, co-hosts and everything else. My friend, the Wolverine, Mr. Perry, and everyone else. Listen, this is a great way. We got to keep communication open, and Gary and Jesse are making it happen. So, thank God.
Well, thank you. And I want to say a big thank you to the six: Karen Slatcher, David Chambers, AJ Perry, Dean Piles, Uncle Jerry Smith, and of course Professor Tom Spellman, Dr. Reginald Lee, and of course our producer, Auntie Jesse Bowen, for making this happen and coming into your home on a Tuesday night for the past 9 years. And we'll be here. You know, we got an incredible season coming up. I've got an incredible group of people that we booked. People like Mike Diller, who owns Bubble Magazine. We booked Mel Brooks and Kevin Costner. We booked professional bass fishermen. We've got an incredible group of people will be on the show coming up. So stay tuned, because the AMAA Radio Network is exciting. Now, you can also listen to William Bam Johnson, Gwen Bowen, Pastor Gwen Bowen, and you can listen to Karen Eva Herdman, and, of course, Jesse Bowen. So stay tuned to the AMAA Network for updates, special announcements, and special events that's coming up. And one more thing. I got a call today from Mr. Bill Wallace. He's going to be doing a special seminar for the Sport Crime Museum October 7th, the night before he starts talking about Roy Kerman. So mark your calendar for the Living Legends October 7th and 8th in Houston, Texas. And for more information on that event, you may call me at 713-483-0476. Now remember, tickets go fast, because this is going to be a big one, ladies and gentlemen. But thank you again, Mr. Alan Goldberg, for being on the show tonight. And I thank you from the heart, sir. God bless you.
God bless. Take care, everybody. God bless.
Well, as we always say every week, and we mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha, everybody. Good night. We'll see you next week.
Good night. Aloha. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.